Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamai, good evening. Welcome to Update here on Manx Radio, taking you through some of the main news before 5:30. Tonight, with the deadline fast approaching for Manx.net email users, what do you need to do to keep your email or switch to another provider? Also this evening, the Mannan Cancer Help Centre officially opened its doors at the start of this month. We'll be finding out how those first couple of weeks have gone and what it's already meaning for the community. And if you've ever dreamt of sharing your voice through poetry and performance, we've got some advice for anyone thinking of applying to become the next Manx Youth Bard. That's all coming up. We'll also have the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And as ever, if you'd like to get in touch, you can email studio@manxradio.com. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Christian Fastamai.
Fastamai. The chairman of the Isle of Man Licensed Fiddlers Association says members are feeling the cumulative impact of rising costs day by day. It comes after the Local Economy Forum warned that current economic and policy pressures are creating significant challenges for the island's hospitality sector. A Merseyside man described by police as a key link in the supply chain that trafficked large quantities of Class A and B drugs to the island has been jailed for 12 years. Liam Dunn was identified as a significant figure within an organised crime group. And the hunt is on to find the eighth Manx Youth Bard.
I say just go for it. I think the beautiful thing about poetry and what I tell to like a lot of people is that with poetry, there's no right answer. You can write whatever you want. And there's no set form to write poetry. So whatever you're doing, it's right. And whatever you're doing, someone out there will really enjoy it.
That's the current post holder, Ellie Reynolds, there. The competition is open to young poets aged between 10 and 17 with a passion for promoting the island's unique heritage. In the latest international news, ex-senior Tory Robert Jenrick has joined Reform, though the news conference announcement from leader Nigel Farage didn't quite go to plan.
On that note, I will welcome Robert Jenrick into this room and into Reform UK. Hello. He hasn't changed his mind, has he? We can't find him.
He eventually turned up and said it's time for the truth while criticising the decline of Britain. Hours before, Kemi Badenoch sacked him from the shadow cabinet for what she's called a damaging defection plot following irrefutable evidence. A gunman who disguised himself as a Deliveroo e-bike rider has been jailed, having seriously injured an 8-year-old girl. 33-year-old Jazz Reed shot 3 people in Ladbroke Grove in northwest London in November. And Eurovision fans will be able to see some past acts on a live tour. It's coming to London this summer. Those are the update news headlines next at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Christian. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So clear spells and light winds to start this evening. There will be the risk of a frost some places and isolated icy patches at first. Temperatures will recover late this evening. The cloud will increase. There'll be a few showers affecting the island. They might be quite heavy at times, actually. South or southeast winds, they'll freshen overnight. Minimum temperatures will be around 1 Celsius. Then tomorrow, scattered showers, some of them again quite heavy. The south to southeast winds will increase fresh to strong. Temperatures will be a little bit warmer tomorrow. It'll be around 8. And then Saturday, bright with sunny intervals and just a few showers. The fresh to strong southeast wind will decrease as well. Top temperatures on Saturday around 9.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
You listen to Update here on Manx Radio. It's coming up to 4 minutes past 5. Now, Manx.net email users have until next week to register with a new provider or risk having their accounts deleted. Now, this follows that announcement from Manx Telecom in October that the service would be moving to Genara. Those wishing to keep their account will have to pay £65 a year. So Kevin Luff is a digital inclusion officer at the charity Live at Home, and he's helped around 30 elderly residents with this transition and says the majority of those are unhappy with the change.
Some people have had the nice email address and they'd like the Manx bit of it. And even though £65 a year may not seem a lot to some people, but to others who, you know, limited resources, it can be quite a hefty sum to put out in one go. The main part of my job is helping mainly elderly people get to terms with sort of technology, and moving this email to another provider has been very awkward because, like I said earlier, the number of things that you have to notify about a change of email address now is It's incredible. That's the hardest bit for them, is just going through everybody that they've got to notify. So far, I've seen about 30 people. Some of them have decided to stay with Manxnet because of all the hassle of changing, but a lot, about 50%, I think, have decided to move. So I've helped them go through their sort of list of important contacts that they need to do.
We've also been reporting about some spam emails that we're getting into those Manx.net inboxes as well. Have you had to deal with any of those?
Yeah, people have sort of highlighted certain emails and wanted to know if they're legitimate or not. And the trouble with sort of spam stuff, the bad guys are getting better and better. One of the main sort of techniques is really pressurising people. So there will be sort of spam emails coming out pretending to be from Manx Telecom or Janara saying, look, you know, you've got to do this now. Part of the job, I've given talks sort of how to recognise scams and whatever. I think last year it was something like about 2.25 million was reported on the island, the value of scams, and that was just what was reported.
That is Kevin Luff, who's the Digital Inclusion Officer at the charity Live at Home. He was talking to Chanel there. You can find out much more on the Manx Radio website. Coming up to 5:06. Now, island residents are being invited to attend a drop-in session, which is really designed to help the public prepare for emergencies and stay safe during unexpected events. It's the first in a series planned under the title of I'll Be Ready. Siobhan Fletcher has the details.
The session will bring together representatives from key emergency and public services, including the Isle of Man Constabulary, the Ambulance Service, Emergency Planning Unit, Civil Defence, Fire and Rescue Service, Department of Infrastructure, Public Health, the Coast Guard and Manx Utilities. Representatives will share practical advice on what every household should know and have ready in case of an emergency. Topics will include essential items to keep at home for emergencies or weather events, steps to protect your family and pets, and how to keep your home and personal items safe. The first in a new series of sessions, it will take place at Andreas Parish Hall on the 12th of February from 3 until 7 p.m. Additional resources and guidance will also be available online for those unable to attend in person.
Siobhan Fletcher reporting there. 5:07. So the Manning Cancer Help Centre has been welcoming visitors to its new centre for nearly 2 weeks now. The charity behind it says the idea was always for it to be a calm and supportive environment for not only people living with cancer, but also their families and loved ones as well. It's on the Nobles Hospital site. It costs just under £2.5 million. And Derek Peters is one of the trustees for the charity Manning Cancer Help. He's with me now. Derek, I mean, just remind us, first of all, take us back. This was a long time in the planning, wasn't it? How did it all come about?
To be perfectly honest with you, it happened about 20 years ago. When a few of us were going through our cancer treatment, and we realised that none of us had a place to go where we could get away from the noise of cancer. There was no quiet spaces, there was no patient rooms, and we had this idea of this oasis near the hospital, accessible to hospital, but nothing like a hospital, where patients, relatives, friends, carers, work colleagues can go to get really good constructive help. Peer support, which is really important, but if you need a different level of support, psychological support, because amazingly enough, cancer patients on the Isle of Man don't have access to psychological support as a norm. So that was a dream, and it came to fruition about 2.5 years ago, when we came up with an exceptionally radical design of the building, which is absolutely stunningly beautiful, and will blend into Nobles fantastically, and it opened last week. So it feels like it's been open forever. It feels very, very natural. It feels very, very warm and welcoming. And yeah, I walked in there today and I thought, I'm sure this has been here about 10 years. It's so amazingly planted perfectly for what we need to do.
And I think the key thing you mentioned there is obviously that the people who've literally, like yourself, you've been through that cancer journey, and having had that say in its development, in its design, means that actually you understand what people going through this need, and hopefully that's what's provided.
Yeah, I mean, that was our vision was always to be, this is what we want. This is what the cancer patients are telling us what they want. So we're not going to be driven by healthcare. We're not going to be driven by architects and designers. We're going to be driven by our hearts and our souls. And that's what we've done. And if you come to the centre, and we encourage people to come and have a look, is that you will definitely get the vibe that people have put their hearts and souls into this building. And that's so important to have a really good, healthy building. So, yeah, so it's built by cancer patients for cancer patients.
And we know charity fundraising is not easy these days. How are you going to meet the ongoing cost?
We have been very lucky, and we are a very sensible charity in that we build up resilience within the programme so that we can at least cover our running costs and our building costs quite comfortably. We did get some really fantastic donations from not only on island residents, but some off island residents that have enabled us to do what we're doing. And the reason that we've sort of people go, oh, gosh, that's quite a lot of money, is that we deliberately built it to be long lasting, not worn out after 2 years. It's not cheap furnishings. It's really good quality furnishings. And that makes a difference to how you feel when you walk into the building. So fundraising still is important. We've got running costs to do. So we will be doing events around that. But we have a little bit of a resilience there to ensure that what we deliver is what we said we'll do.
And you mentioned some of the services available there, the psychological side of things, etc. How do people access those? Who's eligible?
Anyone with cancer, anyone with a related cancer, you know, a relative or someone can access. We have Macmillan in there. So Macmillan Information Centre's there, and we have Minds Matter, which is the psycho-oncology. And in between, we have our own team who are trained counsellors. So I'll give you a great example today. I met a couple in there today, and this person had just come out of psycho-oncology for some counselling with Minds Matters. They went into the kitchen as a couple for some quiet time, made a cup of tea, sat in the library space, got their thoughts, walked along the corridor, picked up a booklet about how to keep fit during cancer treatment from Macmillan, and round the corner were patient transfers sitting in the Macmillan Centre. So this person managed to get her counselling sorted, her mind in the right place with her partner, in the space with a cup of tea, walk round the corner, get a booklet of information on keeping fit, and sort out next week's flights all in one hit without emailing, phoning, trying to get to all these different venues. We've also got a physiotherapist in there. The Manx Breast physiotherapist is in there. So again, ladies don't have to go looking for the physiotherapy room. It's in the centre. You can get a cup of tea and a biscuit and then go and get your physiotherapy. Come out and meet other ladies and talk about what you've experienced. So it's a one-stop shop, but it's so much more important than that. It's a community hub of cancer patients and those who are affected by it to talk and share.
And how do people get in touch to make appointments?
They get in touch through Minds Matters anyway, through the normal channels. But the main thing is you just walk through the front door. And that's a big step for a lot of people. To walk through the front door of the centre, it's exceptionally welcoming. We have a waterfall in the front entrance. So come in and then just talk to Karen and Louise, who are our centre coordinators, and they'll point you in the right direction. And if you don't know where you're going, they will sit down, have a cup of tea with you and chat through anything that you need, and we'll facilitate as best we can. So yeah, that it's a one-stop shop for everything.
And it's really conveniently placed. I mean, it is right next to the Nobles Hospital site. I'm sure some people have walked past it this week and not even noticed it. And I can see just from the enthusiasm that you have for this, Derek, just what it means to you to have got to this point.
Yeah, it's quite emotional, to be honest with you. And one of the beauties of the building is, and I think you mentioned it just then, you don't see it. So one of the things that when you're going through cancer treatment, that is, you get stark buildings, square buildings with faceless corridors, and sometimes you don't want to walk past them because there's a little bit of a ooh. But this building, you could walk past and wouldn't know it's there. But the beauty of the design is that you look into the building and you can see straight out to the garden and straight out to the car park. So if you have a fear of going in there or you're a bit hesitant, you can see a way out. There's an escape route everywhere you can go. So we welcome people to come in and just take a breath inside. Once you take a breath as a cancer patient or a carer or anyone who's affected by cancer, you'll want to stay for a cup of tea and a chat. And that is job done.
Derek Peters, thank you so much for being with us. There is a video on the Manx Radio Facebook and website as well, because we had a tour round before it opened. But there'll be more details, as I say, at manxradio.com. It's coming up to 5:15.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
So nothing to report on the police pages, which is always good news. The main things: Onken, temporary lights still on Whitebridge Hill. That's 24 hours a day. That's for that street light replacement. In Braddon, until tomorrow still, that short stretch of Saddle Road is one way at the junction with the Newcastletown Road. So traffic from Newcastletown Road can't turn into Saddle Road. Braddon, temporary lights on Core Road near the Business Park, 24 hours a day. And in Peel, all this week, the switchback is closed for patching works. All okay down at the airport this evening, and the steam packet latest, the Manxman, due into Douglas at around about 5:40, heading out again for Heysham at 7:15.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicles winter check, so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
You listen to Update here on Manx Radio. So there are always really interesting national days throughout the year. Today is National Pothole Day. And to be honest, we kind of had a thought about whether or not we should do something about this. And we decided to do it slightly differently, because teams from the Department of Infrastructure are out all over the island, really trying to keep on top of one of the biggest complaints from motorists. John Moss has been examining the island's response to the plague of potholes.
We're on the Orisdale Road with Municipal Morley. How do you decide which road to go to, which pothole to deal with?
Well, these, John, using the jet patcher, this is based on programmed works. So priority one works is where we get works who come through customer service, and they'll be treated within 24 hours. So that could be anywhere, either.
Would that have to be deemed as dangerous to cars, or?
Yes, it would meet the criteria.
Right.
It would meet a criteria. So on the carriageway, if it was 40 mil or more deep, then we'd be looking then to repair that within 24 hours.
Some people might say this is a back road. Why not deal with the main roads all the time and just leave these to get on with themselves?
Well, this has been done at this time of day due to the fact of we're utilising the vehicle and the machinery where there's very little traffic at the moment.
It's early on, early-ish on a Wednesday, so yeah. Let's go with Dave.
The process is, we come along, we blow all the debris out with the compressed air, and we put the tack coat.
Morning.
We put the tack coat down, as we call it, and then we put then we turn the stone on with the tack still coming out, and it coats the stone, and then we put a dry stone on top.
We've moved north to Premier Road, which is next to the new hotel in Ramsey. Paul is with me. This is a different sort of patching work. Now, what are you actually doing here? It's a square.
We cut the square out so it's nice and square, because this road isn't too bad as some of them. So, yeah. And then we've tacked it, and then we'll put tarmac in that.
You say it's not too bad, but if you look at the road, there's been patching, a lot of patching work done. I suppose it is a vulnerable road. It can.
Well, we put it down on the system. We've make this safe.
Yeah.
And then eventually it goes down to a patching crew, where hopefully the whole road gets done, because it's all cracked, you see. So there's water getting in them cracks all the time.
That is some of the Ellerslie team out with John Moss there, looking at how potholes around the Isle of Man are dealt with. 5:18. So this time last year, we were talking about the future of the Great North Air Ambulance's presence here on the Isle of Man. It had been in doubt after Manx Care questioned the sustainability of the retainer fee that it had been paying since 2023. But a new 12-month contract was negotiated in March last year, with the healthcare provider agreeing to fund the service on a per-mission basis instead. But with that contract due to expire in the next couple of months, what is the future now of the service for the island? GNAS CEO Joe Garcia has been talking to Amy.
Currently, we are responding to the tender that Manx Care have put out, and we are very, very hopeful that we can offer effectively an opportunity that Manx Care can't refuse, because one of our fundamental aims as a charity is that we reach a model that is wholly sustained by fundraising. So what we have pledged to Manx Care is that for the funding that we raise over and above the costs necessary for us to come over to the Isle of Man, we will reduce any costs to Manx Care. And based on that model, so far this year, we're now at the threshold of reducing the mission cost to Manx Care for the rest of this financial year, and we'll see where the contract takes us next year.
And I think it's fair to say that it's been quite obvious that GNS has made quite a conscious effort to increase the public's awareness of them here on the Isle of Man. And so do you feel like the charity is starting to reap the rewards of that?
Absolutely. If you consider so far to date, we've raised £131,000 from communities on the Isle of Man. And that's what's put us in that fortunate position of being able to say to Manx Care we can reduce their particular costs, which means that every pound raised on the Isle of Man stays on the Isle of Man.
Because how many incidents are you dealing with on the Isle of Man roughly annually in terms of, like, how big a presence do you need here?
So we work on the theory that we will come here 20 times a year. Now that means that for every Manx resident, that's about a 1 in 6,500 chance of needing our services at some point during the year. So on those average of 20 missions is what we factor in.
So with all of the fundraising and with the potentially, hopefully, positive talks with Manx Care, are you hopeful that GNAS will be able to continue serving the Isle of Man into the future?
We are very positive that GNAS will be here long into the future. And with the new aircraft that we're proposing to introduce, this will secure our service for the next 10 to 15 years. We would really wish to convey our sincere thanks to the community in the Isle of Man that have contributed to the fundraising, for their belief in us and for sponsoring us through their donations. And we really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
That is Joe Garcia talking to Amy. We have been in touch with Manx Care. They tell us that Manx Care is currently undertaking a competitive tender process for the provision of our helicopter emergency medicine service, air ambulance service and UK-based road ambulance support. We welcome, they say, the proposal from GNAS, which will be assessed alongside all other submissions as part of that process. GNAS otherwise continues to provide this service for the remainder of the contract term. 21 minutes past five, applications are now open for the Roz Kelly Music Bursary, established in 2018 in memory of Roz Kelly, a talented and successful Manx musician. Applicants receive up to £1,000 to cover travel and participation costs at a UK-based residential music summer school. Friends of the Manx Youth Orchestra trustee Andrew Cole explains what those interested need to do.
Well, how they go about it is they need to send in an application form, and they can get one of those from the music service, which is based up at St Ninian's Lower School. They can email thefmyo@gmail.com, thefmyo@gmail.com, to request an application form, and it needs to be sent back to that email address or to my home address, which is on the form. The key date is the 23rd of February, Monday the 23rd of February, which is the first Monday back after half term. And that gives them the rest of the time from now until then to think about where they might like to go, what they might like to study, what experience they want, because I think it's very much about the experience and new experiences, and different courses have certain unique experiences they offer. So they can do a little bit of research and we can help them with that if necessary. But particularly and most importantly, they need to tell us what benefit they hope to get from participating in a residential summer school, because that's what unlocks the very generous bursary funding up to £1,000 to cover accommodation and travel.
That is Andrew Cole, the Manx Youth Orchestra trustee there. And the hunt is also on to find the 8th Manx... I knew I was going to do that. Manx Youth Bard, since the initiative was launched in 2019. So this competition is open to young poets aged between 10 and 17 with a passion for promoting the island's unique heritage. Current post holder Ellie Reynolds has this advice for anyone thinking of applying.
I remember being sat in my English class and my English teacher was like, oh, they're looking, they're doing a poetry competition, and, you know, and I was like, oh, I'll just do it, you know, why not? I've not got anything to lose by putting myself in there. And ended up getting it. So I say just go for it. And I think the beautiful thing about poetry, and what I tell to, like, a lot of people, is that, like, with poetry, there's no right answer. You can write whatever you want, and there's no set form to write poetry. So whatever you're doing, it's right. And whatever you're doing, someone out there will really enjoy it.
It's true. So you have no regrets from giving it a whiz and having been the bard for the year?
No regrets. It's been a wonderful experience.
Excellent.
I've gained a lot of, especially, like, skills meeting new people, I think that's really important, especially with me going to uni this year. So it's definitely been a valuable experience.
That is Ellie Reynolds talking to Howard there. You'll be able to hear more on Spotlight. Entrants have until the 27th of February to submit up to 3 original poems. There's no set theme. You can showcase your creativity and passion, and the winner will be announced in March. Okay, 5:25, time for sport now, brought to you by the Print Shed, and here's Darren.
First am I. Onchan AFC were crowned winners of the Alaman FA's Under-18s League last night. Only a point was needed before the game, and the O's drew 2-2 with Corinthians to beat the Whites to the title. Goals came from George Leet, who scored the all-important second, and Brandon Bellew. The draw was the only game Onchan haven't won all season, winning their other 6 matches on the way to the top spot with 19 points. They finished the season having scored 40 goals and only conceding 6. Moreover, all but one of the squad is still involved in Onchan's under-16 team. Meanwhile, for Corinthians, their final game of the campaign will be against Rykob under-18s on the 4th of February. Registration for the 2026 Manx Youth Games has now opened. The event, which is set to be held on Saturday the 9th of May this year, sees hundreds of youngsters from around the island take part. Children in school years 2 to 10 can get involved in any of the 16 sports, and training sessions get on the way next Monday. Registration and more information can be found at manxradio.com. And in athletics, the 4th and final round of the Group 11 Cross Country League is set to take place this weekend. It forms part of the Isle of Man Cross Country Championships and is hosted by Western Athletic Club. Will Draper won the men's race in the 3rd round, while Christy Barber came first in the women's category. The competition will take place at QE2 High School, with the first race getting underway at 1 p.m.
Darren, thank you very much indeed. That is all from Update this evening. As ever, you can find out all about our top stories at manxradio.com. There's also the social media as well. As I should say, some fairly feisty comments on there today on some of the news stories, so do check that out. Coming up next, it's Dave Moore, and he has a very special programme. It's called The Solway Harvester and the Isle of Man, an incredibly moving reflection of the impact the tragedy had over here. So that is coming up next at 5:30. We'll be available as a podcast as well. At 6 p.m, Chris Kinley will be with you live for Greatest Hits. Morris Powell brings you A Little Light Music from 9 before Rianne is with you from 10 with After Hours. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. Ben will be here with breakfast for you from 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.